Namo Vishnupadaya, Krishna Prestaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine, Namaste Sarasati Deve Kauravani Pracharini, Vishesha Shunyavari Pasyati Deshitani, Gangeya Champeya Charid Vinindi, Rochi Pavaha Snapitatma Vinde, Banduka Randu, Duty Divya Vaso, Vinde Numaste Charanada. This is a very special place, this whole district, Mathura Mandala, is a direct expansion of the eternal place of Krishna's eternal pastimes in the topmost region of the spiritual world. So things are not as usual in the material world here. The material world is a place where we try to enjoy and control for ourselves. Spiritual world is where everybody is trying to serve Krishna and his pleasure potency. This is a difference of attitude. This is not a place for our own exploitation. It's for us to come and serve. And we are told that this land is covered with precious jewels. To our eyes, it may look like it's covered with excrement. Mm-hmm. But we have not learned to see yet the right way. Actually, it's not that this is some unusual place we come to once every year or so, and then we go back to the real world or the ordinary world, where some other place in the world. And we think that our real life is over there in this other place. This is mistaken understanding. This is the reality. These places of Krishna's pastimes and the places belonging to Krishna's dear devotees and his pleasure potencies are the real places, and what occurs there is the actual reality. Our life somewhere else in the world is a perverted reflection. Our training in devotional service and our gradual process of purification, the main purpose of it is to undergo a shift in attitude and attention, to start giving more and more attention to the reality and less concern for the shadow reflection. We may have to deal with the shadow reflection, but we should understand it's not the real essence of our life. The reality is here in the spiritual world. Just like normally a person in the morning, he gets up and he gives attention to his face. Cleans his face, brushes his teeth, maybe puts on some cosmetics and perfume. He doesn't give as much attention to his backside, although he has to take care of it. He has to wash it after doing his business. That's it. He doesn't put cosmetics on his backside and look in the mirror to see what it looks like to everybody. But we're doing like that. I'm sorry to be gross, but this is what our life is like. We're giving all attention to the backside. You know, it needs some care, but the reality, what people see and pay attention to is in the front. This we have to change. Here's the reality. Here's the important part. Krishna is not alone. He's here enjoying with his many devotees in many different moods and relationships. Some of them are jivas, but he also has his devotees who are actually his equivalents, This means his shaktis, his direct personal energies. Krishna is infinite because he's God. It means he has no limit in time or space. We are finite. All of us sitting here, I think, are finite living entities. I hope I'm not insulting anybody. I don't see everybody here. I think we're all finite living entities. At least I can say that. That means we're small. Okay, we exist forever, but we don't exist everywhere, and we don't know and control everything. But Krishna is God, he's infinite, he's everywhere and every place, he knows everything and he controls everything eternally. His Shakti Tattvas, his direct personal energies, are also infinite. They are subordinate to him, they're not independent. They don't ultimately dominate him. He's the dominator, the one actually in control. But under his control, they control everything else. Krishna's direct personal energies. And they're not finite. They're not finite living entities. They're unlimited the same way that he is. Only they're subordinate, secondary to him, because they're his female counterparts. And the first and prime pleasure potency female counterpart of Krishna is Srimati Radharani. But just as Krishna is being an unlimited person, has to expand himself. He has to show himself. He has got so much in his personality, he has to expand, to exhibit it in different places and times. The different aspects of his personality. He's got so much, he can't show it all in just one body, in one place, at one time. Similarly, Srimati Radharani expands herself for the same purposes. To exhibit the different aspects of her personality in separate bodies, and then have personal reciprocations. Have personal relationships with her own expansions. These are the principal gopis for Srimati Radharani's closest associates, her companions. Some of them are older than her and therefore take a almost parental attitude toward her. And others are younger than her or equal in age with her. So among the principal gopis who are the principal companions of Srimati Radharani, Sri Vrindadevi is one of the principal. This is actually Vrindavan. Vrindavan is not just Vrindavan city. Vrindavan means the whole Vrindavan forest, which is over 40 miles across. It's also here. This is also Vrindavan forest. Nandagram, Varshana, Govardhan, they're all part of Vrindavan forest. That whole forest is called Vrindavana, not just because there's many tulsi trees there. There are other places in India where you find lots of tulsi trees. Karnataka, almost every single house has a tulsi tree. Even the non-Vaishnavas, the Shaivites, even the Smartas, they've got tulsi plants in their front yards. It's just a custom. In Hawaii, our devotees on the island of Oahu, devotees many years ago planted tulsi trees out in the woods, and they're growing wild on the island of Oahu in Hawaii. So it's not just because there's tulsi plants here that this is Vrindavana. It's because Srimati Vrindadevi, it's her forest. She's the original proprietor, the original presiding deity of the Vrinda forest. And she gave it to Krishna for his pleasure pastimes, but she's actually the original proprietor. Just like we associate Kailash in the Himalayas with Lord Shiva, we consider it his abode, but actually it belongs to Kuvera. Kuvera is a close friend of Lord Shiva, and he gave his abode to his friend. Similarly, Vrindadevi gave the Vrindavan forest to Radha and Krishna for their pleasure pastimes. And she continues to serve let's say, is like temple commander. She, I don't want to, I'll leave, I don't know that much, and I'll leave the rest for the other speakers who know better than me. But I'll just tell that, I'm telling the truth. She and Krishna's Yoga Maya potency, who appears as Krishna's sister in Mathura, but then she goes away. We don't know where she is for most of Krishna's youth. She appears again as the wife of Sandipani Muni, the mother of Sandipani Muni.
Purnamashi,
yes, thank you. She's actually Yogamaya. So Purnamashi and Vrindika Devi together every single day make the background arrangements for the daily pastimes of Krishna. They maintain storage houses, godams, appropriate places all throughout the dham. And when Krishna is going to perform a pastime in some particular place, that morning before everything starts, they go out and get out all the things needed. The trees and the birds and the everything required to serve for that pastime, they bring everything and put it in place. So they make all the arrangements. Yoga Maya, together with Vrindadevi, make all the necessary arrangements to facilitate Krishna's pastimes. So if we understand that Krishna's pastimes are important, therefore, thus we can understand how important Srimati Vrindadevi is. She's prime support, background director of all of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. So we are very fortunate to be here today in the kund that is especially hers. We have the beautiful deity of Vrindadevi. We're here to honor her and try to get something of her favor. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Om again, Timidandasya, Gananjana, Shalakaya. Shakshun Militan Yena, Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Rasa Bilasho, Vasatishta Vrinda, Vane Twiti Shangri, Sarojaseva. Labhya Chapumsam Kripaya Tavaiva Rinde Namaste Charanaravindam. O Brinda Devi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. The living entities who attain the service of the lotus feet of your Lord reside in Vrindavan, and the desire to understand the Lord's amazing pastimes of the Rasa dance is only by your mercy. This is the eternal nature of bhakti, that a devotee is always relying on another devotee's mercy. Within us, in material life, we have this strange desire to be the all-in-all, to be self-sufficient, independent, and bowing to no one. That is the disease of material existence. Yet, the spiritual reality involves eternal dependency. A devotee is always dependent on another devotee. Both while the devotee is in material existence And also, while the devotee is operating in the spiritual world, you all know the injunctions for how to conduct your spiritual life while within the material world. Narottam Das Thakur says, Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nista Payajati. Who do you know who's ever attained freedom from material existence without the mercy of a Vaishnava? I was discussing with His Holiness Keshava Bharati Maharaj last night, and he relayed to me how a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the most important shloka? Or actually, Srila Prabhupada asked the devotee, tell me, what do you think? What is the most important shloka? There are so many Prabhupada says and Prabhupada anecdotes, but this one is firsthand, so... So the devotee thought, ah, the most important sloka. Harinam, 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 Evakim. That must be. Srila Prabhupada said, no. So the devotee, Guru Kripa, he was then very curious. That's not it. What is? I've got to know. I've got to know the topmost sloka. And Prabhupada quoted the verse from the Upanishads. Yasyadeve Prabhupada Yatadeve Tathagata. For one who has implicit faith in the Supreme Lord and the Spiritual Master, Prakashante Mahatma, all the imports of the Vedic knowledge become revealed. Prakashante Mahatma, which is such a great song. The more that we become accustomed to seeing ourselves as part of a network of devotees, the more we can prepare for life in the spiritual world. Conditioned life makes you think that you have to go it alone to please your senses, to bring happiness to yourself, and fight off all the distress. Under the influence of the illusory energy, you think that it's your battle. Your life is your battle. And everything depends on your prowess, your ability. Although in our delusion we think like that, actually material life means you're completely dependent on the mercy of so many factors. So it is only in our mind that we have this independence. Now, because of negative experience about depending on others in material life, we may not be able to fully appreciate the dependencies of spiritual existence. So therefore, when we come to a place like this, Vrindakund, where the Lord's pastimes, his intimate pastimes, are plotted and facilitated, as Srimad Gopi Pranadana Prabhu described, we can get a taste of the eternal network of relationships that we have abandoned in order to taste false independence in material existence. You may wonder, if we were with Krishna, and being with Krishna means, naturally, we're eternally satisfied, then how is it that we rejected eternal satisfaction, turned our backs on that, and took up the false independence of material life? Just like in a mundane relationship, when a man or woman doesn't want the other anymore, he or she turns the back. That's it. Finish. There's no more attractiveness to you. I've got other plans in mind. So, could this have been the case in our spiritual existence with Krishna? How is it possible that we just threw off the unlimited attractiveness for Krishna and struck out on our own? Walked off into the wilderness of material existence. This question was asked to Srila Prabhupada in France. How could we just decide to reject, repudiate Krishna's attractiveness if Krishna is eternally attractive? Srila Prabhupada gave a very extraordinary answer. He explained, it's not that you rejected Krishna's attractiveness. It's just that one day you started thinking, I wonder what something else would be like. He explained that just like every day you're eating dal rice and chapatis. Every day. So maybe one day you wonder, what would pizza be like? Not that you are rejecting the dal rice and chapatis, but you just think, I wonder what something else would be like. So, in that way, Srila Prabhupada explained the psychology of the origin of the conditioned soul, the psychological origins of the conditioned state. I wonder what something else would be like besides the attractiveness of Krishna. Not that I'm rejecting the attractiveness of Krishna, but I just wonder what another meal would be like. And just thinking like that is enough to change your status. Here at Brindakun, we can meditate on the unlimited variety of the spiritual world. Krishna, being the supreme enjoyer, understands better than anyone that variety is the mother of enjoyment. So therefore, here, so many varieties of lila intricacies are plotted and planned, all for Krishna's pleasure. And the devotee takes part in an unlimited network of cooperation and servitude to other devotees, all who are focusing on generating pastimes for Krishna's pleasure. Therefore, we might as well get used to being part of a cooperative network of devotees, since that is the eternal situation in this highest realm of the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada explained that in the spiritual world, we will all recognize each other. We'll have ISKCON in the spiritual world. But somehow or other, although with our limited intelligence, we cannot understand that now, we have to become accustomed to dealing with each other. Somehow or other, we have to become accustomed to being part of a network of devotees. Because that is what the highest portion of the spiritual world is all about. Devotees networking together, cooperating together, serving together, all for the purpose of Krishna's pleasure. And we'll never be able to understand this point without the help of devotees. Therefore, in this Sri Vrinda Devyashtaka, we have read the desire to understand the Lord's amazing pastimes of the Rasa dance is only by your mercy, O Vrinda Devi. To conditioned minds, it's hard to understand that indeed your understanding of something depends on someone else's mercy. The pressure of the illusory energy upon you imprints us with the artificial reality that understanding depends on me. I've got senses. I've got intellect. I mean, I may need someone to point out a few things here or there, but mainly it's all dependent on me. Whereas the spiritual reality means you're always dependent, even for your understanding, even for your perception, on someone else's mercy. That is the luxury of Vaishnava life, reality life. Therefore, in the prayers by the great acharyas, they're always begging, when will this personality or that personality be merciful upon me? Only then can I understand Vrindavan. When will I get this person's mercy, that person's mercy? Then only I can understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So we might as well become accustomed to the point of always looking for the mercy of the devotees of the Lord. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote in his song, he described himself as running after the devotee shouting, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Not running after Krishna, but running after the devotee. Running after the devotee shouting, Krishna, 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 is the most effective way to get Krishna. There is so much to see here. There is so much to hear at this place. There is spiritual input here for all of our senses, but they have to become spiritualized. Now, each one of us has to decide, how much is it worth to us to dedicate our life for getting a glimpse of the eternal spiritual reality? How much should we sacrifice for that? How much effort from our life should it take? Actually, this is our reality, but we have forgotten. It's like being hit over the head and you forget who you are. One interesting example, a true story. A few years ago in the USA, there was a man. He lived on the northwest coast, Seattle or something like that. And he found himself across the Rocky Mountains in Denver, Colorado, and he couldn't remember his identity. He couldn't remember his own name, who he was. He couldn't remember his family, anything. He was engaged, remarried. He couldn't remember that. So disrupted was his sense of identity that he went to a TV station in Denver and said, please put me on TV and ask people if they can recognize me. Tell me who I am. He'd forgotten his identity completely. And so indeed, the TV station put him on. And some other his family members in way over in Seattle, Washington, they were watching. There he is. There he is. And so they arranged to bring him back, like, you know, 20-hour drive back home. And still, it took several weeks for him to recognize his family members, to recognize his own beloved fiancée, and to know who he was. He was suffering from some special disease that if you get in situations of high stress, your memory goes blank. So, you see, these things are possible in material existence, to completely forget your identity. So, why should it not be possible that you have completely forgotten your spiritual identity? We come here and we can set our sights on our mission to regain our eternal relationship with Krishna. And that eternal relationship with Krishna means part of a network of Krishna's devotees. In the advanced stages of bhakti, you still don't go it alone. You follow in the footsteps of a particular resident of Vrindavan to learn how to serve Krishna in that capacity. So at every step, so to speak, we are dependent on a devotee's mercy, and we are part of an ensemble of devotees serving Lord Krishna. Therefore, let us become accustomed to begging others for their mercy to understand the Lord's pastimes. That is the nature of bhakti. That is the nature of real existence. Hare Krishna.